it is Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Kevin Barker.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing very well, thank you. That's good. As a matter of fact.
That's good enough.
Sun is shining. Birds are out.
Is it shining?
It's Cinco de Mayo.
Where do you live? It's raining.
The Blue Jays played the Athletics tonight.
Yeah. I got a glass cleaner to clean those glasses off with.
Get the rose. It. Get the rose. Rosy stuff off.
Yeah.
The Athletics beating the Blue Jays 4-1 last night. Lots to talk about, starting with Anthony K. But before we do that, it is walk-off Wednesday. And the text line is open, 590-590. The phone numbers are 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. And I threw some topics out on social media, such as, is there enough pitching here?
Nope. No. That's an easy one.
Are you starting to get concerned about George Springer's health?
Yeah.
Yep. And three, the news today that the Blue Jays are moving to Buffalo.
What?
Shut up, Parker. The Blue Jays are moving to Buffalo for June 1st. There will be fans in the stands.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Are you getting a sense that maybe they're getting closer to Toronto?
That's a good one, Jeff.
Well, 590-590 is a text line. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. You got any thoughts? Any thoughts whatsoever about the Blue Jays Major League Baseball?
I'll throw one at you, too.
Barker's got one for you.
I do. Bo Bichette. Let's talk about Bo Bichette just a little. Just a little.
All right.
How much you think he's missing George hitting in front of him? I'll give you some stats. You have some interesting stats.
All right.
Something to...
Small sample size.
Very small sample size.
All right.
Okay, he hits in that small ballpark at home. 11 games. He's hit 370 there with four homers. He has struck out 9 times and walked 4 times.
Yes.
On the road, Jeff.
Yes.
Last 2 games in Oakland, he is 1-for-8 with 6 strikeouts. Let me just throw that right at
you. 6 punchies.
Yeah. So over 17 games on the road.
Yes.
He's hit a .179
yes.
with 26 strikeouts.
That's not good.
And 2 walks.
Ooh.
Concerned?
No. About Bo Bichette?
Yeah, on the road.
No. What, you think when he goes on the road, he goes, oh, I'm on the road. I guess I got to stop hitting. No,
maybe.
Not at all.
I'll say this. I've said this
not
to you before, and you never believe me, that guys hit to the park. And when you see the over-swinging, now Bo thinks he's real good, and everybody often tells Bo that he's really good. And usually when you're telling a kid that he's really good, he starts to think he's really good. And usually when you think you're really good, that means you can hit anything that he throws. It doesn't matter if it's at my ear or my big toe. I think I can hit it. Starting to see on the road a little bit.
Not staying within yourself
and using the entire field. When is he good? When is he good when you see him at home?
When he has George Springer in front of him.
Let the ball travel a little bit. That helps too. I mentioned that. But also, let the ball travel a little bit, thinking of that right center. You see, you remember that walk-off hit he had against the Yankees, that homer? Where did it go?
Mm-hmm.
Think about where it went.
Yeah, and then when he goes
on the road, where does he? You saw last night, think about his approach at the plate. How many of those overswings he was taking and that back foot falling across the plate. Now, he's a different kind of guy because of the way he swings. But I'm saying, on the road, where you don't really know the dimensions, can I hit a home run to right field in Oakland? So what do? I shorten my field, and I think about getting through the ball and hitting the ball to left center to left field line. Now, I don't know if that's what he's thinking or not, but if you sure watch him in the games, now I'm not taking anything away from Oakland either. Oakland's pitching a little bit. They can add and subtract, which is, you know, pretty cool against a younger lineup.
Right.
A guy that can do that, right? Add and subtract, throw a change up and fastball counts, and you got a catcher behind the plate who understands what young guys are trying to do and can go against that by mixing it up a little bit and keeping it down and throwing it in and all quadrants of the strikes on that kind of thing. I'm just saying, a little food for thought.
Mm.
Not saying he's not a great hitter. I'm just saying you're seeing a little bit of a different approach on the road than you are at home.
Yeah, I also want to throw out there, by the way, that we will be joined by Nate Pearson, fresh off his first start in AAA. Look, here's the thing with Bo Bichette. I'm not worried about the home road thing right now. I'm not going to worry about anything with Bo Bichette.
I'm not saying I'm not worried, but his last five road games,
but I gotta
he's
tell you,
one for 20.
But I got to tell you this. When is the best he's looked this year?
With that guy that's standing over there with the thing wrapped around his quad.
George Springer in front of him.
There you go.
Now, we don't know. We know George Springer did not play yesterday, obviously. And I made this point. He was given the first game off. That was a scheduled day off. Fine. I got no problem with that. Mm. I expected him to DH a lot yesterday. Now, we're understanding that there's no media with the team, so we're sort of
guessing,
restricted to what we hear in Zoom calls. And I'm not slagging anybody here. There's no, the Jays aren't obligated to tell everybody about the health status of every one of their players. There's nothing that says they have to do it. But, we'll see if George Springer's in the lineup. In the lineup today, we've got a day game tomorrow. Mm. If he isn't in the lineup today, at some point you have to ask the question: are you going to hamstring? Bad choice of words, but are you basically going to hamstring Charlie Montoya when it comes to the bench? Because right now
it's tough.
He's got nothing.
No,
he's got Bupkis.
Rowdy Tellez.
And he's got Reese McGuire as Bupkis.
Yeah, Rowdy Tellez, he'd be looking good in that lineup right now, hitting sixth. He'd be a nice little mix. You could get Kevin Biggio out of the leadoff spot, put Bo in the leadoff spot. Maybe that'd mix it up a little bit, give him a different look. Mm. Catch a pitcher a little bit earlier. I don't know. The road stats it is early, 17 games.
Yeah.
But the approaches are, you could tell. If you really look at the at-bats and look at what he swings at and look what he's trying to do with the baseball, how much he's really, really trying to catch the ball out front. Tell you, he's got a different approach to the ballpark.
Let's talk about Anthony Kay. What did you see from him last night?
He ain't pitching a real game since April 15th. It's one of those things. Then you hear him after the Zoom call, which I was up for. That's late, but you know, you're listening to him, and the first thing out of his mouth is he's happy with his cutter.
Yeah, okay. You're going.
Well, you got three pitches that you should
never
master
have too
first.
Many pitches. Can never have too many pitches.
Well, is it quality? So you got to ask yourself. I'm with him. Look, you master the first three, which is the four seamer, the little curveball, and the changeup. Changeup's a decent pitch for him. Curveball, hit or miss. Fastball, he can command to one side of the plate. Now he's not very good at going both sides. You know, he's not real good at going into a lefty. He's a lot of end or righty away to a lefty. That's why Mitch Moreland, you go up and see him. Lay off the two secondary pitches, get 2-0, and now he's thinking, look, I've eliminated the ball in, now I'm going to look out over the plate, he gets an elevated heater, what happens? That's a veteran guy understanding what a guy's trying to do to you. It's not so much the pitch, it's more about the location. Anthony Kay is just, for me, a guy now. You know, can he get better the more he pitches? Sure he can. It's very hard for him to come in and give you quality stuff. Hadn't pitched since April 15th. I know he's been down to that other place trying to imitate the you know, guy on first base. Whatever. Guy on first base, him pitching out of the stretch. Stats don't matter down there. Can you really do that? Probably not. Stats appear matter. The only way you get paid is to get people out. But I will give you another stat. You know who has thrown the least amount of innings in baseball as a starting staff?
Oh, let me take a wild swing at this. Blue Jays.
Yeah, 122 innings. Last six games, their ERA is a whopping
6.93. That's not good.
So until you asked me, the second question you put on social media was, do they have
enough pitching?
Okay, they may have enough. Is it quality? That's the question. I mean, they got enough arms. They're going to run 30 arms at you, however many arms they have to run at you. But is it good enough? Now, the bullpen, I can tell you this, the last three starts, the bullpen, 1-0 with an ERA of, guess what, Jeff? Zero.
Zero.
You know how many walks they've had in three games?
Two.
Zero. Oh. You know how many strikeouts they've had in three games?
58.
16.
Oh.
So the bullpen is great, but if you overuse it, it's not going to be great for long. That's the point. Until the starting rotation gives you more quality for longer periods of time.
Right. You got Robbie Ray going tonight, correct, Amundo?
Yeah, he's going to have to give you 7-plus for me. You got the leash got to be a little longer for him. He got 90 pitches going into the sixth inning. You got to give him a little bit of longer leash. Let him go out there and muscle his way through it.
590-590 is the text line. Please include your name and location. This texter didn't do it, but it is a question that I thought of last night, so I'm gonna throw it out there, Kevin. Jeff and Kevin, is there a reason the Blue Jays haven't taken another look at stretching out Ryan Barocki, even at the start of the season, and putting him back into the starting rotation? Is it age, stuff, injury history, or something else?
It's not age. It's stuff. Second time through, it's not as good. Maintaining the velocity, he gets a lot of that velocity from adrenaline, and health is the biggest one. Track record will tell you if he's a starter, he's not going to stay healthy. And they want to maximize that. I mean, he's throwing 98.
Yeah,
it's 96 to 98 with the big yacker. Now he's added the cutter. He's added the cutter, which is okay when you mastered the 98 with the hard slider thing. Yeah, it's more about he's more valuable where he's pitching.
Yeah, I'm going to say this too. I think that 3 years down the road, I think you look at Ryan Barucki and Jordan Romano as being really important parts of a really good bullpen.
You have said that Barucki might be the most important part, and you could argue
I have made the point on this show.
You could argue
I think Ryan Barucki has got the potential, and you know, there are guys like that you find in organizations. There are guys who don't close, but pitch in, you know, the first leverage situation to come up. And I just think if a guy like Barucki, if he can maintain his velocity, the rest of the stuff is fine. If he can maintain his velocity, I'll let him pitch two or three innings for me.
The velocity allows him to get righties out.
Right.
That's what
and
it
there's
does.
A little bit of, there's a little bit of funk in his delivery, too. It looks like...
Well, he got a quick arm action. He's got that little where he raises his knee higher than his arms, which hides the baseball. And then from that point to where he's releasing the baseballs real quick, so the hitter has trouble getting on it. But for me, it's the velocity and where he throws it. We've said this. Every starter that comes out there is left-handed. What do we say? Has to establish in, and it can expand with a secondary pitch. He's no different. He commands that ball in, and his misses are good with it, which means don't miss down the middle. And he can elevate, too, which is a big thing in 2021. He's solid. You can never have – the ninth inning to now is not the most important inning for me. It can be. But for the most part, it's really not. You can lose games, and these teams understand that, in the seventh and eighth inning, and even in the sixth inning. And to have a guy like Ryan Barucki who can pitch from anywhere from there to the end of the game.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
And you know, we also have to keep in mind that this whole idea of leverage doesn't necessarily have to be in the ninth inning. It's been that way for a long time. It's the reason why guys like Ward and Hanke were good.
Yeah,
it's a reason why Ramiro Mendoza was with the Yankees when Mariano Rivera and John Wetland were there. Like, there's a lot. Oops, this idea that the highest leverage situation can come before the ninth inning. It's always nice to have
the ninth inning taken care of, and you figure out how to fill in the blanks in the other innings.
Well, Gibby used to talk about it allows you to kind of manage your bullpen backwards. If you know that
I have a ninth inning guy now, pitcher X is in the ninth inning, sixth to the ninth inning, or sixth to the eighth inning. So you got to worry about three guys.
You can
and if you
it
got
out
a
more.
Guy like Ryan Brook and give you two quality innings, now you only have to worry about one inning.
Yep.
Makes a manager look like a genius.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Chris Stony Creek, what's up, Chris?
Chris.
How are you, sir?
Very good, sir.
Kevin, I just want to say, bro, I've never spoken to you before, but I love hearing you on the radio, man.
Great. I appreciate takes. It.
You're really, really good, man. Honestly, you guys together have a great show.
Thank you.
So I just want to touch on the 3 points, and then I want to throw something out at you guys that I've noticed over the first 30 games and give me your opinion. So first of all, the pitching, definitely not enough pitching, not enough quality pitching, like Kev's saying over there for sure. Definitely worried about Springer, you know, because, he should be DHing at least right now. Obviously, if he's not DHing, why is he not DHing? Like, we saw him yesterday taking BP, so what's the problem? Is he not able to run the bases properly? You know what I mean? So that's a real concern. Obviously, if this time off allows Springer to play, when we get into, game 80 and up, if this guy's playing every day and he's in center field, not that I'm waiting to 80 games for that to happen, but I mean, we start to get him on the field towards the end of the season every day. I mean, then okay, I guess. And then the last one was Buffalo. For me, I just love watching the Jays. So I don't really mind if they're in Florida or in Buffalo. Obviously I would wish if they were in Toronto, obviously, so I could go see them live. So those are my comments about those 3 points. And is it okay if I throw one thing out, Jeff? Is that okay?
Hell yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is what I've noticed, and give me your personal opinion, guys. In this team, for what I've seen the last first 30 games, starting pitching, in my opinion, on this team is so much more important than any other Blue Jay team I've seen, because what I've seen with this team particularly is when they get behind by, like, you know, 4 or 5 runs, for me personally, I can see a change in approach when it comes at the plate, whether it's they're doing it on purpose or maybe it's just a mental thing, you know. I see them particularly trying to get 5 runs back with one swing rather than when you're watching the game and they're either down by 1 run or they're tied. I can see the approach is much more, you know, they're much more selective with what pitches they're trying to go after. They're much more willing to pass the baton on to the second guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And obviously, just like in baseball, I mean, I've been watching baseball my whole life. I mean, it's nice they had a home run, but I'd rather have 6 doubles in a row than one guy hit a home run and the next 2 guys strike out.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kev. That's a great point. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. I think the first and foremost thing you got to really realize is pitching's really good nowadays. It is really good. To ask a lineup to have 6 doubles in a row, it's going to be a lot of wishful thinking. A lot of these teams are planning on the bloop and the bomb. That's just the way it is because of power and the way they add, subtract. I do think the bow thing on the road is a little bit of a, I don't want to say head scratcher, but it is a little bit of a head turner when it just comes to he's trying to carry his team. He understands who's not there. And Jeff brought the point up about George not being in there and how good his at bats look when George is hitting in front of him, because he thinks, okay, all the pressure's on George. All I got to do is go up now and swing at a strike that I think I can do damage on. And it's just one of those things where, especially on the road, the game plans change because you're not as comfortable. The batter's box may be a little bit different. The ball's carrying to different parts of the field. You're trying to adjust to that. This is a very, very young lineup who has to fall into the thing of don't change anything. What works at one place is going to work somewhere else. Maybe I just need to think about hitting the ball in a little bit different of an area and not trying to backspin so many baseballs. But it's just one of those things where you can never have too many great pitches. Yet the starting pitching has to be great on the road for this team in my eyes. And then you'll start to see everything else sort of fall in place.
I did say one thing about Bo that I thought coming into the games in Oakland, we talked about this a little bit. I thought that big ballpark would actually help him because there's a lot of territory out there to get your doubles.
Sure.
And I understand that Bo with the lay, I get the whole dynamics behind Bo's swing, but I thought that this ballpark in particular might be good for him at this time because you can, I mean, they're doubles goal. I understand. Look, sure. Laureano's a great defensive outfielder, but there's a lot of room.
He ain't
going
to catch a line driving a gap. It's more of the, you know, the shadows early in a game may have something to do with him, gets him off to a little bit of a bad start. He thinks he has to overswing to catch up to velocity. That may have something to do. Obviously, we have no idea. I can't walk up to him and ask him, which would be a cooler thing if you could do those kind of things. A lot would tell you if you could watch his batting practice. If you could go to Oakland and actually watch him and see if he's hitting a home run to right field. If he's not, because you're tabby a lot, say, the ball doesn't carry here as much, meaning in Oakland, at nighttime as it does in the daytime. And you don't think the players know that? The first thing I did when I was a player is walk out and grab grass and throw it in the air. You know how I did that? To see which way the wind was blowing.
Yep.
So I could adjust my game plan to what I wanted to swing at for that night's game. And Bo's no different. I'm just saying, it just looks to me like his field on the road shrinks. It's more of left field, left center field to left field line instead of the big part of the field. You could tell at home. He's not afraid to let the ball travel and backspin it because he knows he can hit a ball out to right field, to directly right field. So, again, it's a lot. It's probably accumulation of things, and these are things. These are growing pains for a young lineup that they have to go through to turn themselves into a legitimate every single day threat of a hitter, and that's what we're seeing from Bo right now.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. Nate Pearson, he could be the answer to some of these pitching issues. He'll join us when we come back. This is Baseball Central. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. Fantasy baseball alert. Or I guess baseball alert in general. Joey Votto has just left the, or didn't just leave. He actually left about half an hour ago, the Reds-White Sox game after being hit on the left thumb with a pitch. And we saw it up here. We got the game on TV here. Mm-hmm. We saw it up here, but I was uncertain as to whether it was from today or what they were doing, but he's not at first base now. So nothing further from the Reds other than they have said that that he is the left thumb is being examined right now. So there you go.
Don't Joey mention left thumb. He doesn't need a thumb.
Let's bring in Nate Pearson. Nate Pearson, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great to hear your voice. So, I mean, you had the first outing yesterday at Triple-A, and, you know, we talked about how last season was strange, and, you know, this year playing for the Buffalo Bisons and playing home games in Trenton, and I'm just wondering if just one start, but does it kind of feel like a normal, you know, like a normal year now to you? Is it, you know, just a matter of staying healthy, working on your stuff? Does it seem a little more normal?
Yeah, it definitely feels a little bit normal. You know, I didn't think I'd be wearing pinstripes anytime soon here in Trenton, but it's a little bit different. I'm just glad we got fans in the stands. You know, it felt like a real game yesterday, and it was fun.
Is there anything you could take out of that game? I know you were talking a lot about your mechanics, and you cleaned some things up with that. Are you happy with that? Do you coming away from that thinking I can build off some positive things and take away from that game?
Yeah, everything about last night was pretty positive. You know, I walked off the mound feeling good. I felt like I stayed within myself and my mechanics and threw a lot of sticks last night. And that's the biggest thing, you know, moving forward, just, you know, tighten things up. They're making everything a little more crisp for when I get that call back up to the major league level.
Yeah, that's funny. Whenever you listen to Alek Manoah talk, he sort of says the exact same thing you say. And you guys, you look at you two look similar in body type and, you know, how you shortened up a little bit of your windup and those kind of things to get to quicker to where you want to release the baseball. Have you had any talks with Alek about what he has to go through to mechanically be sound?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really broke down our mechanics too much. We more talk about the mental side of the game and just the pure fact of competing. And Alex, he's a big competitor, as so am I. And so we kind of just feed off each other's energy. And, you know, he was right there at the front step, you know, cheering me on last night. And I plan to do the same for when he pitches. So we got a good relationship.
Hey, Nate, I'm wondering, I read Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet did an article just before your start, and you were talking about how you were able to use some of your time while you were recovering from the injury to maybe break down your swing a little bit with some of the technical, or swing, sorry, break down your delivery a little bit with some of the technical people. And there was discussion about maybe not being as tense when you delivered the ball. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, it's just I felt like I got into a bad habit of like muscling up the ball and when I pitch, and everything would kind of fly open, or, you know, just using too much intensity to throw the ball when I could be more sound and throw just as hard and be more whippy and more just electric. And it's exactly what happens. It kind of like unlocks your mechanics when you try not to throw so hard and you try to just be effortless and just whippy, and it comes out even hotter.
Is there, what are your secondary pitches that you really are focusing on between the slider and the changeup and the curveball? I know the curveball for you is, you know, sort of a work in progress, but it sounds like if you've opened up in something with your mechanics, you could probably throw your three secondary pitches more for strikes. Is that the case?
Yeah, like last night I threw every single one of my secondaries for a strike. You know, I only threw three curveballs, but I threw one really good first pitch. And the other two were good show me curveballs, you know, low in the dirt to lower their eye level and then to go to the heater right after that. But the slider is what really helped me out last night. It was there all night. It kind of just helped me out, just set guys up. And then the changeup, I made a couple really good changeup pitches to get a couple strikeouts, which was really key.
Nate, what have you learned about yourself so far in this journey? You know, you're Triple-A now, and, you know, the folks up here are waiting for you to get here. I'm sure the Blue Jays are. I'm sure you want to get up here as well. But what have you learned about yourself over this past, I don't know, year and a bit with everything you've gone through and just with everything the game's gone through?
You know, it's just the one thing I have to tell myself is to not rush things. You know, I want to be up to the big leagues. Everyone wants to get there so quick. But, you know, I have to keep telling myself I'm still young and I'm just getting started in my baseball career, especially at the major league level. And just kind of have to be where my feet are at and enjoy the process. Like right now, I'm in AAA right now and, you know, hopefully soon be back up in the big leagues. But I got to enjoy the time here and work on some things and just to prepare myself when I get up there.
You know, you talked about wearing pinstripes, and for people who don't know, the Trenton Thunder used to be the Yankees affiliate, and you guys are wearing Buffalo Bisons jerseys on the road and Trenton Thunder jerseys at home, I believe. Now, that's what I was told. You know, hopefully I'm not off. I'm being accurate there, but just, you know, have you noticed, because you're with a lot of guys who, I mean, some of them were at the alternate sites, some of them were at the big league camp, some of them, I don't know what the hell they were doing last year, because there were a lot of baseball players that were, you know, were trying to keep themselves busy last year. Have you noticed guys maybe enjoying being part of a team more this year, because it is, understanding it's early, but it is more normal?
Yeah, I could tell you, like, last night we had more, like, team camaraderie and cheering than I've seen in pro ball in a while, you know, because it's a lot of guys haven't been playing and haven't played another team wearing another jersey. You've been playing like inter squads and all that, especially at the alternate site last year. All you did was play your own teammates, and just to play another team, we were all just going crazy in the dugout because we were scoring, we were playing good, everyone was just feeding off each other's energy. It was it felt like an awesome experience, you know, just to be in that dugout with them. And it was a good time.
Have the Jays given you any indication what their plans are for you? Are you just kind of, you're going to take it start by start, and when you get the call, you get the call?
Yeah, that's all I can focus on right now. Just right now I'm in AAA. I got to start coming up on Sunday. Just going to prepare for that and just go from there. Whenever they decide to pull me up, I'll be ready.
And I got to ask you this question because somebody on our text line wanted to ask you this question. They want to ask you about, I swear to God, Rookie the Bat Dog. Can you tell me about Rookie the Bat Dog? This is from Marlene in North Toronto.
So I got to meet him a couple days ago. He wasn't at the game yesterday, so I don't know if he's allowed, like, or what the case is because of COVID. But I did get to meet Rookie, and he's an awesome, awesome dog. I have a golden retriever myself. And so I have a soft spot for golden retrievers. So he's an awesome dog.
Nate, thanks for doing this, man. Really appreciate it. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we look forward to seeing you up here with the big team real soon, my friend. Be well.
Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. That's Nate Pearson of the Buffalo Bisons / Trenton Thunder. They're wearing their Trenton Thunder uniforms at home, Buffalo Bisons uniforms. Rookie the Bat Dog is a bat dog, and he's part of the thing, and there are some pictures that sent out in social media, and obviously players and dogs. I mean, everybody loves dogs.
Sure.
Ball players and dogs. We've seen a lot of things now where every team's adopted dogs and things like that. Do you ever play for a team that had a dog?
Not that I remember. I'm sure there is. You know, I'm has that dog been around for a long time?
Like, it's been around for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause he picks a bat up in his mouth and takes
it off. You know, if you ground out or something, he runs up and picks a bat up and takes it back to the dugout. That's pretty cool. That's
a little bit of slobber.
As long as he don't put holes in it, we're good,
I guess.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
No, I just thought, yeah, I thought it was kind of cool.
It is cool.
Oddly enough, God's honest truth, I've seen a couple of games in Trenton, in the stadium. I saw a AA All-Star game there. This is back when I was a newspaper writer. AA All-Star game there. You never played in Trenton because...
I don't think so. I played in a lot of places.
Really, really cool ballpark.
It is cool.
It was... Oh, my
God. Why is it cool?
It's...
Dimensions.
It's cozy, but it's not... It's a comfortable coziness. It's not like somebody sat down and said, let's make a real tight ballpark so everybody can get in. Just, it's really neat.
Is it hitter friendly?
It is hitter friendly. The home run derby. I believe that's where Vladdy Jr. put on a show in the home run derby in AA, if I'm not mistaken.
There.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's Trenton's kind of in.
So that's a good way to look at the pitchers there.
Yeah.
Nate and Alec Manoa, see how many homers are giving up at home.
Yeah. Oh, somebody said, by the way, Dan in Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
Barker probably sold the dog when he was 0 for 20.
No, I would
there
never
you
sell
go,
anybody's
Dan, in Georgetown.
Dog.
Oh, you're never going to let that
I
down.
Would never do that.
By the way,
Barker. I sell your car for a hit, though.
Barker has figured out, he's narrowed down the car selling thing to two possible cities. For those of you who weren't here a couple of days ago, we were talking about slumping hitters. Barker talked about how he was 0 for 24 and sold a car.
Yeah.
An old car. He did not sell his Prelude, but he sold the old car.
Never.
So a vintage Kevin Barker. This is a guy who went to Virginia Tech for 3 years and didn't know the school's fight song. Vintage Kevin Barker couldn't remember when he sold his car in the middle of a slump. You know, as if it's something
First
you do
all,
every day. As if it's something you do every day.
You can't wait to forget about 0 for 24s. And so, you know, to give me a little break here.
Okay, but you figured it. It's either either Stockton, California.
Yeah.
Or El Paso, Texas.
So I had to be one of those.
There we are. We've got.
Because I had an F-150, I think, when I was in AAA. I was in AAA a long time,
too. I can see you driving an F-150. That's a Barker car. What'd you do with the Prelude when you had the F-150?
Traded it in, I think, or something else. I can't really remember. I'm not a big car guy. Big score.
Clearly, you're not a big car guy. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666. 0590. Jason in Vancouver, you've been very patient, my friend. All right, I threw out three topics for conversation. You can pick one of those three, Springer, the starting rotation, or the Jays being
or
in Buffalo.
Or all three if you want.
Or all three, or if you've got one in your own. You know, we can go anywhere here, my friend. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. A long-time listener, first-time caller. Glad to call in.
Thank you and welcome.
My question is, it's probably for both you and for Kevin, because, Jeff, I think you're one of the best baseball writers in North America, let alone Canada. And, Jeff, Kevin, you played the game. Is I've been thinking, have the Blue Jays been messing with players' confidence with just their lack of kind of role consistency and clarity? And kind of what I mean by that is I'll use Kevin Biggio as an example where, like last year, if you said, hey, if you could have a leadoff hitter that hits 370, 380 and plays sound defense at second base, would you take that? I think most of us would. And now this year, like you bumped him to a new position of third base.
I think you're talking about on base percentage, because if he was hitting 370, he'd be leading off every day.
Yes, on base. But like just the fact that they've moved him around and not letting him just settle into a position like Kevin could probably say it's already difficult enough to learn this game at at the major league level, but now bouncing him around, or guys like Anthony Kay, who's been a starter traditionally, and now he's been bumped into the bullpen, he's followed an opener, he's been sent down to the affiliate league, like just not giving these guys consistency to kind of build a routine. Do you think that's really important in kind of developing their confidence?
Yeah, I'll turn it over to Kevin. That's a great question, and thank you so much for that, and thanks for your patience, Jason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something we talked about. I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, well, here's what I think about playing different positions. What do you always say? Get great at one, and then maybe you can move them around. Maybe not great.
The Ben Zobrist thing was I had to get comfortable at one position I could move.
Exactly right. Kevin, for me, the why he's struggling at the plate is the league's made an adjustment. It's no more of the we're going to try and let him get himself out. No, they know he's not going to do that. So what are they going to do? They're going to attack him. They're not going to so much try and be as fine with secondary pitches or the fastball. And with two strikes, what do they do, Jeff? They elevate the hitter. Mm-hmm. And with the big giant uppercut he's got in the swing, he's going to have to make an adjustment of, I'm going to have to try and lay off it. To ask him to level out his swing, I'm not sure that's going to work. He got to the big leagues doing it one way. Can you actually ask him to set a tee high like Albert Pujols did and try and drive down and through the baseball? Huh? Not real sure he can do that. And what kind of hitter is he? What can we expect from Kevin Biggio? Is he a 240 hitter with an on base of 330-ish? Would you take that from him? Or do you want a little bit more from him? That's the question. And the bigger question is he an everyday player?
Yeah.
That's another thing. Is he an everyday second baseman? Is he an everyday third baseman? I think they're moving him around. They're trying to tell you without telling you that he's not an everyday third baseman.
Well, and Kevin, we talked about this, that when he came in, When he came into the majors, right, it was made very clear that he would likely be a utility player. Like, this is why I don't understand why people are surprised about this. If he was going to be an everyday second baseman, they would have said, we're going to make him an everyday, he's our second baseman.
Yeah.
You don't hear them talking about moving Bo Bichette around to a bunch of different positions. Mm-hmm. Not right now, anyhow. Bo Bichette's our shortstop. So I think Kevin Biggio is a utility guy.
Yeah.
Right now, that means you play third base on this team because of the way the team is constructed.
I will say this. Trying to teach a young guy to be really good at the hot corner and then also go and be yourself at the plate, that's a tall order. That's correct. A lot to ask anybody, especially a young guy trying to establish himself.
Pitching, I think, Jason, and I'll let you answer this, Kevin, before we break. Pitching, I think, is a little different. I think pitchers understand now that there is going to be a lot of, unless you're, I don't know. I mean, unless you're Garrett Cole or somebody like that.
Jacob Degrom.
Pitchers understand early in their career that there are going to be a lot of ups and downs now because it's weird. One, the game is skewing younger. So if you're a good young pitcher, you got a chance. But the other thing is pitchers are lasting longer because of better health and better conditioning and all that. Pitchers are lasting longer and maintaining velocity longer. And teams are now not afraid to take a pitcher and put them on the IL for 60 days and then bring it back. So I think if you are a pitcher, we'll use Anthony Kay as an example. I think you understand that you're going to be moving up. You're going to be moving down. You're going to be moving up. You're going to be moving down. The thing you want is you don't want an organization stretching you out then putting you in for an inning for half a year, then stretching you out, then using you as a you don't want that.
Routine,
exactly.
Anthony Kay in his Zoom call last night said the first couple sentences out of his mouth was, I would love to be in an every five-day routine.
Sure.
And young guys really don't know how to do that. We talk about Ryan Barucki and the things he does between the times that he pitches. He's learned how to save bullets.
And one of the reasons we talked about when the Jays were playing the Texas Rangers, we like the fact that the Texas Rangers have got three pretty good pitching prospects, three guys they consider to be prospects. And what they've decided to do is they're going to have tandem starters. We talked about this. So you got a lefty and a righty, and what they've done to them is they said, you two guys are pitching in the same day. The right-hand hitting team, the righty might get four innings that day. Mm-hmm. Left-hand hitting team, the lefty might get three innings that day or four innings. But the thing is, you guys know we're going to be asking you probably for three innings, maybe four innings on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so you get them on a routine.
Yep.
From talking to pitchers, that's what pitchers like. Pitchers like as much routine as possible because it allows them to figure out when they're going to throw their bullpen. Are they going to throw a bullpen? Are they going to long toss?
It allows them to worry about other things than they're going to make up their routine.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to live in fear. You're sitting in the dugout, and your manager comes up and says, go give us three innings today. And you're going, but I got, okay.
I didn't know I was throwing today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think there's probably a difference there. But it is a great point. And we've mentioned often the thing Paul Quantrill, well, I mean, I keep throwing it out there and people laugh, but it's true. Sometimes you gotta figure out how to tell people to go bleep themselves.
It's hard to do. You gotta go,
yeah, you know what? I'm not doing that.
Been real hard for me to walk up to Rod Carew and go, yeah, I'm not gonna try and fillet that ball over the third baseman's head like you used to do.
But there's a way of doing it, right? There's a way of doing it.
You gotta be real comfortable with who you are and where you're at in your career.
We are gonna break. And come back with more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, you know what? It's Cinco de Mayo, and thanks to our friends at Lone Star, we're giving away, you ready for this, $150 gift cards to celebrate. Lone Star has their Cinco specials, like the Fajita Party Pack, available all week long. You can enter for your shot now at winning by texting the word churro to 590-590 right now. You can find more Cinco specials and contest info at sportsnet.ca/590. Barker's excited about that. Doing live reads is not a Blair specialty. Favorite Mexican food. Churros are great. Favorite Mexican food.
I like it all. I'm not picky when it comes to that. I'll try anything.
Tex-Mex.
I'll eat a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's right up there. I could pretty much eat any Tex-Mex.
Me too.
Pretty much eat any of it.
I played in overseas a lot. So
yeah, I bet you have.
I got to eat whatever you can eat.
Victor and Markham, 595-90 is a text line. I'm really struggling to figure out what the plan here is by management. Starting pitching is a problem, and there is no urgency to improve it. The offense is way too one-dimensional, even with Springer. It just feels like management is half committed to winning and half committed to rebuilding. Am I wrong? That is something, Victor, that I have thought about, something I've talked about. I don't expect the Blue Jays management to tell us all their deep, dark secrets about where they're going, what they think this team is. As I have said, I do find it odd that in an off season where they spend a ton of money on George Springer, and I do not have a problem with that, I do find it odd that they were not able to sign another starting pitcher. Now, maybe they think Nate Pearson is the answer and he's going to be up here. Okay, that's... Maybe they had a better read on Alek Manoah than any of us, and they think Alek Manoah is going to be up here. And I think we have to remember this. They traded for Steven Matz.
Yeah.
Signing a guy who's a free agent, you know, the guy has a choice whether or not he wants to go to your team. And it's entirely possible. We're led to believe that's the case with Kevin Gausman. We know they talked to him. We know they've talked to him multiple times. And you just
Kevin Gausman doesn't move the needle, though.
He'd be your number two guy right now.
Ooh.
He's doing okay in San Fran, is he not?
A bigger ballpark, different division.
Right.
Coming to the American League East is no joke.
But my whole point is I've often wondered, or I have wondered this year, why they didn't close the door or why they didn't close the deal with the free agent pitcher. And we've talked about this. You've got to give a guy an extra year and more money to come to Toronto.
Yeah.
You just do. And you know, we know they went after Liam Hendricks pretty aggressively, we're led to believe.
Mm.
So all of that is at work. So I guess, Victor, what I'm saying is I think people looked at George Springer's contract and said it's go time. And I looked at George Springer's contract and said, okay, you got George Springer for 6 years. At some point in the next 2 or 3 years, preferably 2 years, you're going to go for it because you got him under contract for 6 years. If they had inked a bunch of guys, a whole bunch of free agents to 1 or 2 year contracts, then I'd look at it and go, okay.
Yeah, you also don't want to waste Hyun-Jin Ryu's contract either. You want to put people around him that you can win some games and give yourself a chance to win.
Yeah, but that's another.
Yeah, but do you really think you're going to get him for the next 3 years? I mean, get him by performance wise.
Okay,
that's the thing.
My question is then, why didn't they go after starting pitching more?
Well, maybe they're telling you something without actually telling you where they think they're at as an organization. They're not quite there yet.
Well,
they need to see more from Nate Pearson's and their
point.
Lineup. You know, did they really think that Vladdy losing 40 pounds was enough?
9:37 is the first pitch tonight on Sportsnet. Ooh. 590, the Fan and Sportsnet. Reminder that tomorrow we will be on for an hour and a half for 90 minutes from 2 to 3:30. We will be your pregame. We will take you right up to the first pitch, which is 337 from Oakland. I've already read Victor and Markham. Jeff from Aurora. Talk about internal competition. Is Santiago Espinal gunning for Kevin Biggio's job at third base? In fairness, this is always going to be a question mark ever since the organization signed Marcus Semien for a year to play second, and Kevin had been being playing a consistent second base last year. I would imagine that Jordan Groshans will be the third baseman for this organization eventually. Plan is at double A is he's going to split time. I think Austin Martin ends up in the outfield. Is Jordan Groshans capable of playing second base next year in a team that goes to the World Series? I don't know.
I'll tell you this.
I have said all along, I think this team needs to add another bat, another infielder. Marcus Semien makes sense for this year. They may want to take that money and spend it in a third baseman for next year.
Again, you got to look at the big picture here. Whenever you see Santiago Espinal and you're Charlie Montoyo and you see him picking and a grinning over there at third base and you don't see Kevin Biggio doing that, you're seeing why they're putting Santiago Espinal. Now, would I like to see him hitting ninth and playing every day at third base? I'm raising my hand saying, yeah, because that takes a ton of pressure off of Bo. Maybe you can get more offensive out of him. out of Bo because he's an offensive player first, yeah. and then he's going to figure out the shortstop thing. Wow. And Espinal would make that a little bit easier.
We talked about, you know, look, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s making errors, but you know what Fernando Tatis Jr. has that Bo doesn't have? You got Manny Machado beside him.
Yeah, and whoever's putting in Kevin Biggio's name in that special computer that they do it with, that computer's spitting out something that a little bit more than we are spitting out with Kevin.
Mr. Barker, thank you for being here again. Tomorrow, we will be on from 2 to 3:30. It'll be Baseball Central and Blue Jays pregame show combined. Who walked us off? Jordan in Van City, was it? Jason in Van City walked us off.
I'll use Kevin Biggio as an example where, like last year, if you said, hey, if you could have a leadoff hitter that hits 370, 380 and plays sound defense at second base, would you take that? I think most of us would. Just the fact that they've moved him around and not letting him just settle into a position, like Kevin could probably say, it's already difficult enough to learn this game at that at the major league level, but now bouncing him around, or guys like Anthony Kay, who's been a starter traditionally, and now he's been bumped into the bullpen, he's followed an opener, he's been sent down to the affiliate league, like just not giving these guys consistency to kind of build a routine. Do you think that's really important in kind of developing their confidence?